the Tosfos Yeshanim, which we in the middle of. It's a very, I had a little trouble wrapping my mind around it fully, but I believe that you have to understand what the real difference between Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri is, I think, in order to understand what the Tosfos Yeshanim is talking about. And I'm going to suggest, even Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri were both coming to answer a question. The question was, how do you know that Ula holds that always Mishalim Bein Aloka? Maybe it's a local din in Onesim Mefateh. That was the question Tosfos asked. How did the Gemara say Alma Kasavar Ula Kalechadika Mamon Malkas Mamon Mishalim Mekolaki? The only thing that Ula told us was that by Onesim Mefateh Kalechadika Mamon Malkos Mamon Mishalim Mekolaki. He didn't tell us that that's a din B'chol HaTorah Kula. He told us a din. Clearly, he doesn't hold like Rava is going to say. He holds that even if Hisrubo by Nara you pay, because otherwise he went to said Kam Nara Kam Geras. But the question is, why does the Gemara extrapolate from? Why does it extrapolate from Ula by Onis HaMefata to say that Ula holds that way B'chol HaTorah Kula? Maybe it's a local din in Onis HaMefata. Now, why would we have even thought that it's a local din in Onis HaMefata? There's a point I don't know if I said explicitly, but I mentioned to Shua and Sam in Seder, and that it sort of hit them why I said it. What's the Havamin to think it's a local din? Because we already know the drasha at the beginning of the parak. That's, we know of the existence of a limud by Ones and Mefata that speaks about Chayve Malkios being Chayef. We never looked at it through the current prism, right? What prism were we looking at it through then? Through Isha Ru'yala. We weren't thinking about the Kamei B'de Rabamine question. We sort of glossed over that. But since we have a makar that does relate to Chayve Malkios, so perhaps Ula has a localized din within Ones and Mefata. So the question is, how did the Gemara know to expand on that principle? So Rabbeinu Tam basically said, because if Ula didn't, he could have just read the Psukim like Rabbi Yochanan. Right? It doesn't say that when our Tosef, I didn't even check. But that's that, even though it doesn't say it, that's what it boils down to. He could have read the Psukim like Rabbi Yochanan. He could have read, instead of saying that the Pasuk is dealing with, instead of saying that every Nara, you pay Knas and you don't get Malkos, you know, when there's an option of Knas, instead he could have just said, basically, that that case is the case of the Ribuyim, you could say, would be limited to Hecha Delo Hisrubei. That's what you really could have said. And the fact that Ula doesn't say that must indicate that obviously he holds that always Kol Hecha Dika Mamona and Malkos Mamona Mishalim Mikol Alaki. So Tosa said, that's not a raya. Maybe the reason why, once he had a pasuk that taught you Chayve Lavin, maybe the reason why he read the way he did, but still a localized din in Onesim Mefata, was because he doesn't buy Rabbi Yochanan's chiluk. Ula believes that you either always get Malkos or you never get Malkos. Right? It can't be, he believes in potential Malkos is like Malkos. And therefore, if real Malkos would have been enough to pater you from the Mamon, then so would a potential Malkos. And the fact that you chayav to pay Mamon shows you that not only does potential Malkos is the lack of actual Malkos let you pay money, but even if you were supposed to get Malkos, you still would not get Malkos, instead you would pay money. That's what, how they rejected Rabbeinu Tam. So what did the Ri come along and say? Was it the Ri? The Ri came along and said, no, if Ula didn't already have the principle of Mona Mishale and Milka Lelaki, he would have had to read the Ribuyim differently. He wouldn't have had one for Chayve Lav and one for Chayve Krasis. He would have had one to teach you that if there's Malkos, you still pay and don't get the Malkos. And two, a second one to teach you that even though she's Aina, or I should say it the other way, one would have taught you that Eina Re'uyalo still is in the Parsha, and the second one would have taught you that, you're welcome to use the standard tip, and one would have taught you that that in the case of Eina Re'uyalo, where there's Malkos, you pay and you don't get the Malkos. And you wouldn't have had a pasuk for chayve krisos. The fact that he darshens one for chayve, that the Gemara darshens one for chayve lavin and one for chayve krisos shows you that you don't need, that is not the makor that mishalim for enoloka. The makor must be elsewhere. Now, there is another, so there's another difference, actually. There's another difference, in effect, I think, between Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri that only emerges in this Tosfos. Well, let's read. Let's read the Tosfos first. And then you'll see where to understand the questions, you'll see where I'm going. I'll have an easier time explaining it as we read it. Zach, why don't you start? Let's reread. Let's read the part we read yesterday. Ode Perish Rabbeinu Tam.
Ode Perish Rabbeinu Tam, the Daik, the Mavona, Misham, the Dekorach Bogeres, the Dekorach Bogeres, the Dekorach Bogeres, the Mishani Beshota, the Mishani Delog, the Rabbeinu Mishani.
So what is Rabbeinu Tam's attempted Raya again?
Since Ula answers from Boshes of Agam, he's saying pretty much that we get Knas from Nara, but we don't get having the Boshes of Agam.
I want you to modify that statement. We don't get Knas. We do get Knas from the Ribuyim from Nara, but don't say we get Knas. Say more specifically, more precisely.
We pay Knas and don't get
No. Which Knas? Onesim, only of Onesim Mefata. I know you thought that. Not Knas, because we've also been talking about Knas versus Mamon. That's not the, right now it's not really the distinction that's being drawn. It's the Knas of Onesim Mefata versus the Mamon, Stam or Mamon of Onesim Mefata, because that Pasuk is only talking about the Knas of Onesim Mefata. So, Rabbeinu Tam said, the fact that Ula here assumes that Boshes HaPagam would also pat you from Malkus by a Bogeris, and he has to come up with a case of Shota and Mefuta so there's no Mamon by a Bogeris in order for them to get Malkus, shows you that Ula believes that it's not just the Kenas of Onis HaMefata, but it's even the Mamon of Onis HaMefata. And if your makar were from Nara, you would only know the Kenas of Onis HaMefata you pay. You wouldn't, instead of Malkus. But if you had Mamon of Onis Mefata without Knas, you could have assumed very well that you would get Malkus. It's the fact that Ula assumes that, in fact, you pay, that Boshes HaPagam would also get you, have you exempt. It means he holds it's a general din. It's not learned from Nara Hanara.
He's accepting that you do learn the Knas
in Nara Hanara. In the point, in other words, if he learned the Knas from there, then why would Boshes and Pagam pati from the Malkus? You should get Malkus instead. The fact that he assumes that Boshes and Pagam would also pati from the Malkus, even by a Bulgaris if you have them, shows you that he holds it's a global din that Mamona Mishalim Milkalalaki. It's not on the basis of Nara Hanara. Now, of course, you could ask the question, and that now you understand what Tosis is one of the later questions is. Maybe Ula learns the Mamon of Boshes and Pagam from the Boshes HaPagam of Onis HaMefata, maybe Ula learns that from the Knas of Onis HaMefata. Right? That's going to be one of Tosos' questions against Rabbeinu Tam. I had a little trouble with this Tosos until I was sure every single one of the comments is an attack on Rabbeinu Tam's teretz. And that's why it's helpful to clarify what exactly Rabbeinu Tam's shita was. Well, let's see afterwards. I think it'd be easy for me to formulate it. So anyway, that was what Rabbeinu Tam said. So the fact that it said, the Gemara says, that Bishota and Mefuta, V'lo Mishani, the Loka Vena Mishalim, Elavadei Sover, the Ba'al Manami, Mamona Mishalim, V'lo Laki. And that's how the Gemara knew that Ula held that way. And that wants to know, what is Ula's Makar? How does Ula know that whenever you're faced with Mamona Malkos, you pay and you don't get Malkos? Vikasha, so this we did this yesterday, Vikasha, the Ein Nireh, right. Ula never said a word about Boshes HaPagam. All Ula said was Kan Benara, Kan Bebogeres. So the fact is that if all Ula is talking about is Knas, if Ula believed that this din is local, this din that you pay money and you don't get Malkos, was a din limited to Nara Hanara, namely the Knas of Onis HaMefata, not any other money. So then there's no kasha from the Boshas and Pagam of a Bogeres. Why? Because what would the din be, according to this Havamina, for Ula by a Bogeres, when there is Boshas and Pagam? What would the din be? No. That you're low giving to Mishalim. The Gemara wouldn't have had a kasha. Or the Gemara shouldn't have asked the question. So, and the fact is, Ula never said this. The Gemara asked the question on the assumption.
Think that Ula did say this, or?
What's that?
Does Rabbeinu Tam think that Ula did say this?
I don't know. Rabbeinu Tam is the one in Baba Basra who points out that the example I brought you yesterday, who says, you know, Rabbeinu Tam knows this methodologically. This is not even a chiddush. The Gemara, the example I gave you from Baba Basra of splitting the Amora and the Perisha Gemara is a case where you can actually read it as one statement. Hilchas Amilval Ka Govim and Ayorshim Govim Kuchos Govim and Govim and Ayorshim because less Leib Seida and Eino Govim and Kuchos because less Leib Kalar. Some, I forget the exact formulation, but and I will tell you one of the simonim, one of the things that will almost always tell you that it's not the Amora speaking is whenever the Gemara first presents the positions and then repeats the positions with an explanation. That's kimat vaday sign. The explanation is not from the Amora. But even without that, you could have said it. But the point is, Rabbeinu Tam knows that there's a distinction between what the Amora says and the Gemara's perish the Amora. Why? And here it's a kalvachomer. Here it's not even Ula speaking. It's not even Havamin. It's Ula speaking. The Gemara asked the kasha on Ula and gave it teretz. It's not Ula. What's the Havamin? It's not Ula speaking. I don't know what Rabbeinu Tam. I'm not sure what Rabbeinu Tam thought here. That's question number one. The ode.
The basic Elul Tahas Tachas Gemara Mashma the Beknas Gufei by Yikarim of Mishalim. The Amal Hashemina Minar Nahana.
Okay, this already starts to tell you where Rabbeinu Tam is coming from in the Tosas Yishanim. What is the question? The question is, let me formulate Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam wants to claim that this sugya is more or less only interested in the mamon for Ula. It's almost as if Rabbeinu Tam believes, that indeed the makor now I got it. Let me say it this way. The Maskana of Rabbeinu Tam and the Maskana of the Ri argue on whether or not the Ribuyim are actually a good makar that by Knas of Onesimafate, Mishalim Ve'inoloka. Rabbeinu Tam says that in a chenami, you do learn from the Psukim that you're Mishalim Ve'inoloka by Knas at least. That's especially the Tosas Yishanim. In the first Tosas, Rabbeinu Tam wanted to say that really you let's say even limited to Knas, you do learn from this Pesukim. You do learn this Pesukim. How did the Gemara know that Ula's din was a global din? Rabbeinu Tam says because Ula would have read the Pesukim differently had it not been a global din. But Eino Chenami, Rabbeinu Tam thinks that according to Ula, the din that Knas of Ones and Mefata is Mishalim Ve'inoloke is learned from the Ribuyim. It's also, we learn two things from the Ribuyim. We learn the din that Lavin and Ase Lavin and Kresos are included in the Parsha of Mefata, and we also see Memela that the Knas of Ones and Mefata is paid and you don't get Malkus, right? Because Chai Ve'lavin, you're paying the Knas. That's what the Ribuy is telling you. The Ri says, absolutely, positively not. We absolutely cannot learn from that parsha whatsoever that the knas is mishalim ve'eino loke. Not lemaskana. We do not learn lemaskana that way. Because if we were to learn lemaskana that way, we wouldn't have had. We have to have a makor elsewhere and not from there, because otherwise we wouldn't have known chai ve'kresos. So Rabbeinu Tam, Lishitaso, in the Tosas Yishanim, with that idea that that parsha really can be the makor for the knas, just the knas of Onis Mefata, Rabbeinu Tam says, and this sugya, how do we know that it's a global din? Because this sugya is focused on the mamon of Onis Mefata, which can't be learned from that parsha. And Ula says that by Ego Bogeres, the Boshes and Pekam would pater for Malkus. So first Tosas says, Number one, it's not Ula speaking. And number two, even if we put that aside, you, Rabbeinu Tam, are assuming that this sugya is preoccupied with mammon. How do you know that by mammon of Ones Mefata and other mammonos, how do you know that Mishan Levein Aloka, but Knas we're not interested in? Tosa says no. V'od mi demasik ela ula tachas tachas gomar, mashma de beknas gufe boi krad de mamona mishalim. And according to Rabbeinu Tam, v'amai lo shamina minara nara hanara. According to Rabbeinu Tam, if you're right, either the ula taka could learn from that pasuk, right? And we infer maybe he does learn from that pasuk. So why is the Gemara here looking for a makor by knas? And it is looking for a makor by knas because what is the gzer shav of tachas tachas? Tosha, let's spell this out. Velosiyed liisha tachas asherina. It says v'nasan laisha shochem v'lavi hanara chamishim kasef velosiyed liisha tachas asherina. It's the pasuk of the knas. So for Rabbeinu Tam, why does the Gemara here need to find another Makar Kanas? See, we explain why that those psukim are not at all used. They don't teach you bichlal the din of Mishalim Ve'Noloka. That's already known completely from elsewhere. But according to Rabbeinu Tam, that Enochanami, especially in Tosfos Shana, that yeah, the Kanas could be learned from there, but we're worried about the Boshes and Pagam. Well, what do you mean? How can you see then in the Maskan of the Sugya, not only is the Boshes and Pagam not Ula's words, because Ula is really working on Knas, but on top of that, the Maskan of the Gemara is Tachas Tachas. So that's his second Kasha. The Oud, me the Masik, Ela Ula Tachas Tachas Gamar, Mashma de Beknas Gufe Boikra, the Mamona Mashal, Vamayla Shamini, me Nara Nara Hanara. Third question, the Oud.
The Oud.
Maika Mamina,
Ula. The Rabbi Kra.
Yeah, why not just say that just like you pay the Knas? By the onus of Mefat, you don't get Malkus. The same thing holds for its Boshes Pgam.
And this is again assuming that Rabbeinu Tam learns Knas.
Correct. It's assuming Rabbeinu Tam learns the din of Mishalim in Lokem Knas from the Ribuyim, from Nara Nara Hanara. Right? It took me a while to figure that out. Although I didn't understand who the question was being directed at. So now, Bechitema.
Bechitema Miknas Leofin, and Nelef Miknas Chabe.
Alright, so stop. First of all, Bechitema Miknas Leofin, and why not?
Because it's a Makra.
No. The chitema that you can't learn the boshes upgam from because you don't learn mamon from knas. That's a principle of in a few places. They have it and daf mevav. They have it a few places. Mamon miknas is in our sugya too. It's later in our sugya. Okay. Oh no. Mevav beis is where the beginning of the kiyas. That's what I was talking about. So mamon miknas alayofinan. So you say you can't learn the boshes upgam of ones mefata from the knas ones mefata. Fine, but when the gemara tried to make a binyanav, what should it have said? Ni'alef. Yeah, you could instead of having to resort to exer shava, we could have made a binyanav mishlosh
aksuvim. Do you think that's what Rashi does in the end?
No, the gemara learns exer shava.
And then what?
No, you learn.
So what is it
in the end? Is it a binyan mishlo shaksuvim? Is it a? I don't know. It's a good question.
Well, this would work, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would. So there is another avenue, by the way, which is Tosa suggests, which is there's another Xerah Shava of Tachas Nasina Yishalim Kasef, which you learn all in this, you learn Meitav. He doesn't like it, but maybe that's what Rashi thinks. Tosa rejects that so as to say that it's a local din.
If they have the
Gzeirah Shavah, Tosas... So of course they have the Gzeirah Shavah. The machlokas could be about how to use the Gzeirah Shavah.
But Tosas is saying, if you have a Gzeirah Shavah, how can one person use it for one thing and one person use it for something else?
Why not? They all use it for one thing. They all use it for Meitav. I say, well, again, Miles Lu Gzeirah Shavah Meitav, they do, but apparently they could be debating, you could say it's debating how to expand it. We'll read that Tosfos in a little bit. So anyway, Tosfos So that was the now, and if you want to, so why not make a binyan mishloshim? That was question three. Question four. This part really interests me.
Glad you understand. Kevin that bush is the guy who forgot Kai. My compass of Malach Bush can't hide the Dalit Dwayim. Atu Bush is Lach Hobalu. The coming in a Hobalu shame by him call a Dwayim. Kira Amar Lach Hobalu.
You said this in
Yes, this I mentioned this issue. This remember this goes back to our issue. I'm sorry to dig up a dead horse and beat it again. But remember, I was bothered by Malachova b'chaver shekein chaya b'chamisha dvarim. Tomar be'onesu mefate and other moments be'onesu mefate where you're not. So I said I didn't understand. You're also chayiv chamisha dvarim. You may not actually be mischayiv in your case chamisha dvarim because it's not typical.
That's what this question is.
Yeah. See again, what is Rabbeinu? You have to remember. See, this question when I read it again finally drove home the point that Rabbeinu Tam is arguing in this teretz that our entire sugya is focused on mamon in the discussion, the boshes and pagam of an ones and mefata, as opposed to the what. I'm sorry?
Can we use the term nezek for those instead of mamon?
As opposed to mamon?
Yeah.
Nezek? Well, pagam is nezek. It's really boshes and nezek.
Precisely.
So Tosa says, how could the Gemara have a pircha on malachov b'chaver shekein chai b'chamisha dvarim, tomar by what? By the mamon, the non-knas of ones and mefata, you're also chai b'chamisha dvarim there. You may not actually pay chamisha dvarim, but nonetheless, you're still say. What's the din? I mean, I say this to you. What's the din in a regular case of chovah b'chaver? Let's say I'm not chayv in chamisha dvarim. Let's say I don't cause any permanent nesek, but I have the other four things. So let's say I punch Zach really hard in the arm, but since he does everything with his right arm, and I punched him in his left arm, there's no shevis. Well, let's say you're Sheves, but there's no Nezek. It'll heal tomorrow. He can't work today. So I'll pay him Sheves, I'll pay him Boshes, I'll pay him Tsar, I'll pay him Ripui, if he needs Ripui. Am I Pater from Malkus, or am I Chayv in Malkus? Pater. I'm Pater in Malkus.
Theoretically, if it was less than a
Pruta. I'm asking from that angle. When it's, of course, if it's less than a Pruta, it doesn't matter whether I did a Chamisha Davarim or one Davar,
yeah,
if I hit him. But I'm saying, I did plenty of damage to him. Right? His loss of work for a day is worth hundreds and thousands of prutos. So the question is, do I get malchus? And the answer is no. So you see what? That when we say chovah b'chaver is mishalim v'inaloka, it doesn't mean that you have only in a case when you pay all five things. It means since you could be chayav up to five things, therefore chovah b'chaver is mishalim v'inaloka. Well, guess what? The mamon aspect of onei semefata, the boshes and pagam, that also is chamin. That is chovah b'chaver. That is mamish chovah b'chaver.
That this
at Knaf, the Onis
Mavata is
Chayav Dadvarim? Is that a Tosh?
I don't understand. Never
understood
that.
What does that line mean? I thought
it was a quote. But
it's a promise. It's a typo.
Is it?
It's Hei Dvarim. He's quoting the Gemara. It's a typo.
Like when you
normally those typos get caught
by. Yeah, I don't know why they didn't catch it. What?
It's like, I thought it was Hashem, so that was acceptable
for us. Cute. That's not a bad, well, except, right. Yeah, I don't know what happened. That's got to be Shekein Chayev.
You guys have Dallas?
Yeah, what do you have?
I have three A's in the Dallas. It's repeated four times.
Right. So we have the same thing. We have Dallas first, but I assume that's Chamisha Dvarim.
Fine. Okay, so then.
Otu boshes lav chovahu v'kamen inyonei chavalos she'ein bohem kol hachamisha dvarim k'da amar ba'achovel. Right, the Gemara discusses. The Gemara has a specific riboy to tell you that you're chayav on sar shalav amalkam nesek. There's no nesek. Kivo al tziporno. Right, kivo b'shiput al tziporno. There's tsar, but there's no nesek. Doesn't matter whether your fingernail is damaged or not. You know, unless you're a model, you know, no one cares. There's no effect on your work.
You wouldn't be able to do manual labor then.
Of course you could. If you do...
Fingers hurt. You wouldn't be able to use that hand like
that. So. You'll be able to use your finger. Whatever. There's no nest, no permanent damage. Huh. The fingernail grows out and it's done.
Shabbat.
Correct. The point is, how do you know you're chayav on tzara shel malkom nezek? So what kviyah tachas kviyah? Yeah.
What is atu boshes lav cholok? Is that a aspect of?
In other words, the boshes that comes with ones emafata, that's not a, correct. Not an aspect of chavala. That's a pro. In other words, only the boshes that you're paying is a product of chomer b'chaveira.
The Rivan is doche this by giving the pirush that I thought was the only pirush to this. Well, I still don't understand what Meir Talmud.
That was the teretz I didn't like. So what is Tosis's teretz to the kasha? The Rivan's teretz is to defend Rabbeinu Tam.
Right, but I don't understand what the pirush of that line in the Gemara is according to this kasha.
The pirush is we're not talking about. The we're not talking about the mamanos that come with an ones emafata. That's a separate din. We're talking about the situation of knas of ones emafata. And by knas of ones emafata, how do you know that you are mishalim ve'eno loka? And if mamanos chamor, and don't bring me a raya from the choval b'chaveiro, because that's more chamer because you're chayiv to pay chamisha dvarim. Whereas by knas, the knas of osifata is no chamisha dvarim. You just pay a fixed value, 50, that's it. So I was bothered and sheer by that, but doesn't every case where there's knas also have some of the other things, some of the chamisha dvarim? So the answer was to try to come up with a case in principle where you could have a knas, but you could have no boshes and pigam. So we came up with a case. I thought I came up with a case, but I'm trying to remember. Let's see if it works again now. If you have a shota, who's Mefuta, and her father, and she's a Nara. So the money goes to the father. The Knas goes to the father to exer sakasav. There's no Boshes because also she doesn't experience Boshes. There's no Tsar, she doesn't experience Tsar in that case, she's Mefuta. There's no Pagam because the father loses nothing. And if that, the only thing I'm glossing over is that the Boshes by a Nara also is Boshes of the family. But let's, whatever. We can gloss around the case maybe where nobody. What? What? He says there's no boshes. What to the family?
Ramban's girsa is instead of taking out. So Rashi is
so shota mafuta, but not anara.
Yeah.
Okay. Fine. So that's my case. So that would actually work nicely. But I have to now. Now you're gonna make me go reread those, Rishonim. So it works. It works out then, very nicely, right? In other words, the Gemara when it says ma lachova b'chaveiro shechein chay b'chamisha darim tomar by an onis mafata whose knas there's not chamisha dvarim. It's just a unique thing in its own right. If, according to Rabbeinu Tam, the sugya is talking about not the kanas of ones emafata, why? Because where do we know about the kanas of ones emafata already from? From the ribuyim. So according to Rabbeinu Tam, if you're talking about the boshes, or the pekam, of the ones emafata, well, that is chova b'chaveira. You happen not to be chayiv, chamisha dvarim. But as Tosfos points out, you're chayiv by anchovel, you pay the money even when you're not chayiv, chamisha dvarim, and you don't get malchus. Right, if I do damage to you and I don't pay all five things, I pay the money, I don't get malchus. So that why should the bosh? Why if we're focused on the act of onus and mafata vis-a-vis boshes to pagam, when there is boshes to pagam, why should you be all of a sudden chayav malchus and pata from the tashlumin? Just because there aren't chamisha dvarim, so what? In principle, there are chamisha dvarim. That particular thing may not have chamisha dvarim, or maybe the onus and mafata never happens to have chamisha dvarim, but it is chova b'chaveira where there just happens to be fewer than chamisha dvarim. So the Rivam is coming to answer that last question. He wants to explain how Rabbeinu Tam, even if the Gemara, when it's asking the Kasha, when it's asking for the Limud, it's talking about the Boshes and Pagam of Onis and Mefata. So you want to say to me, what kind of Pircha is it when the Gemara says, Malachova b'chaver shekein chayv chamisha dharm, tomar b'onis and Mefata, where you're not? What do you mean you are chayv chamisha dharm and Mefata? So miu perush, mi ram perush de hachi parach. Ma. You didn't read it right. Shekain pe'amim yesh bo kol chamisha dvarim. Tomar. Right. In other words, by a person who rapes his sister, in that case, you never have all chamisha dvarim. You might get tsar, you have boshes and pagam, you don't have ripui, you don't have sheves. So that was the Gemara's kasha.
But
it's difficult. It's very difficult. Why?
You don't like the Rivan?
No.
Unless that's actually what Rabbeinu Tam's Svara was, and Reeve was just, you know.
Well, the Rebbe is just defending. It only answers one of the kashas, right? It doesn't answer.
If you take it, you start to see like how if Rabbi Natan had been going with a very different model of like how we're talking about Moshe Sukkam, and I don't have this fully articulated because it's just starting to occur to me that like it might be that what Ri and what Rabbi Natan are talking about are two very different things. That Ri is approaching Moshe Sukkam in like the classic sense of Moshe Sukkam, and Rivam is clearly not approaching Moshe Sukkam.
Oh, yes, you are correct. In that regard...
So, like, Rabbi Natan clearly is not reading... Meaning, assuming that Rabbi Natan has, like, some... That there's some legal discourse that can be done for Rabbi Natan, it would have to start with the Moshe Sukkam here not being the classic Moshe.
Right, so I would argue the following. And the one could have made the following... I'll tell you what the teretz might be, actually. Ones... What's the difference between Ones and Chovel?
One has a potential...
No, but I'm not asking. I understand that. That's a totsa'ah. But fundamentally speaking, going back to the kavana, what is the? Let me ask you the following question: if a man raped a woman, but he didn't cause her any physical tsar, okay, which would be unusual, but let's say he took a date rape case. So she's not physically refusing the act, so she physically, it might be not an uncomfortable act. Let's say she's not an Ara, let's say she's not a Basula anymore. Okay? Let's say nobody is going to know about it. I want to put aside the Boshes for the moment, okay? Here's my question to you. If there's no Boshes and there's no Pagam, and there's no Tsar and there's no Ripui, and there's no Sheves, I want to know, does he get Malchus or not? Correct. In other words, Ones and Mefata might cause Boshes and Pagam, but it's not Chovel B'Chaveiro. Let me ask the following question. Let's say I spit on you in public. Only if my spittle hits you. If I spit on you in front of you on the floor, I am Pater. There is no chayv chayudin adam because boshes is not a non-contact sport in halacha, right? You have to make contact with the person. So let me ask you a question. Let's say I spit on you, but somehow the boshes comes out to be less than a pruta. So here's my question for you. Do you pay? No, because it's less than a pruta. Do you get malchus? For spitting on you. I think the answer is no. I think that Chavala... See, I think that there are two different dinim in Chovel. One is that I cause damage to you. The other is that I strike you. I'll call it Derech Nitzayon. In other words, Lo Yosef doesn't mean I can't do damage to your property. Lo Yosef means I'm not allowed to strike you. It happens to be that when I strike you, typically what happens is I cause damage. It's almost as if there are really two different parshas here. One is the parsha in Kiseitze, Arbaim Yakenu Lo Yosef, and the other one is the parsha in Mishpatim, which is, I'll formulate it better, the one parsha at the end of Emor, V'ishki ten mun b'amiso, kasher asa kenya asa lo. Right, and at some point, then there's shever tacha shever ayin tacha sayin shein tacha shein kasher yitein mum adam ken yinasen bo. Right, that's a parsha, not of a prohibition. That just says if I do damage to you in any of these forms, I have to pay. When the woman, you know what the chiv of boshes comes from? The katzo saas kapa. Right, two men are fighting, and one wife steps forward to save her husband when she didn't need to do it this way. Because if she did, then of course she's allowed to do it. If the guy's going to kill her husband. And she is, as the Chazal's expression, nakat bekufse de l'shavke le'balei. The Gemara has an expression by kfiya. It's a very colorful expression. The Gemara, I forget where it is, the Gemara wants to say that you're not kofahim, but then the Gemara describes something which is basically a use of force, and the Gemara uses the expression the nakte bekufse de lishavke leglime. It means you grab him somewhere so that he lets go of his shirt. He's holding something in his hands. So to say that that's not called forcing him, I didn't force you to take it out of your hands. I just grabbed you elsewhere. That's the Gemara's expression. Chazal were real people with colorful expressions and colorful ideas. Today we're very Puritan.
We're very blunt.
What?
We're very blunt.
It depends where, but no. In the base medrash, Chazal would never said such a thing. What's that? Well, I don't. It's hard to distinguish who, but
sometimes
they do use euphemism in certain respects. But in certain respects, they don't.
If you trace a certain MRI, you can tell that some of them were more explicit than others, and some of them were much more circumspect.
Okay, I didn't. Wasn't aware of that. Did you write a paper on this?
What I have.
Somebody write a paper on this.
I've spoken. You can see it. Like. I've seen a couple of things.
Name
like
names, though. Okay, whatever. So anyway,
it's all sent back to things like Lida Lamaye, Bashi Karachai.
Okay. So the woman goes and she doesn't hit the other guy. She just grabs him by his private parts, right? She doesn't do damage. Not hitting. So one does wonder whether that's a separate parsha from Lo Yosef. I don't think if you mivayish someone where you chaya boshas, but you don't hit them, I don't think you chaya malchus, even if it's less than a shava pruta. I don't think so. Yeah.
So then, what's a halos and shava pruta? If it's halos and shava pruta, such a small amount.
Okay.
What do you even say at that point? It's a hakal.
If I slap you on the face.
The tsar itself. Why would that be done?
There, if you think about
pruta.
What's
would I
that?
Not pay a pruta to not feel that, or what's the?
I forget how they do it. So
no, it's gonna, if the court was gonna smack.
You know, if I go and I flick you on the ear, the Gemara assumes that's only boshes. That was Hanan Bisha.
Ah.
And it was only high of one. It was only high of one pruta, and he only had. Oh, I'm sorry. He was chayav. He's chayav half a zuz. It was more than a pruta. But I can imagine that if I were an adam chashav and you were not an adam chashav, it might be almost an honor for you to me to flick you on the ear. So maybe it'd come out to less than a pruta. I don't know. Hakol lefi hamavayish hamisvayish. Right.
That's a hakah.
It is a hakah. It is a hakah.
I go. Gedarm of a hakah.
What's that?
What's the gedarm of a hakah?
The gedarm of a hakah, I think, is that it's there to inflict physical pain. But not a lot.
How do we judge it? You said that if the court was going to cut off your hand, how much would you pay to get the anesthetic?
Right. So that's the answer. If you knew that someone in the court was going to have you ear flicked, how much would you pay in order to get that done with an anesthetic? And the answer is probably you wouldn't bother. You'd say, just do it. Right? Correct? Thank you. You fleshed it out for us. Excellent.
No, wait.
Yes.
I've never heard it described as how much would you pay for the anesthetic or versus how much would you pay just not.
That's the Gemara and a Chovel. That's the Gemara being a Chovel.
Because not happening.
No, because they said that the person would give the amount of money he would give so they wouldn't cut off his arm would just be so large that you can't assess that amount that's tsar.
So it's not based on how much you pay for it to not happen.
No, it's how much you would pay to have it done in a less painful fashion, a way you wouldn't feel the pain.
That's
good to know. How does it go? The Mishnah says that Ezu Tsar. So a person, there's no amount of money that a person would pay. You could pay them to suffer certain kinds of pain. So then the Gemara says, at least most people, where does the Gemara say? The Gemara says that's very expensive.
If you saw someone's arm off, and you're not going to jail or just paying something, it doesn't bother me that it's very expensive.
It's infinitely expensive.
I can't do that. That would be a problem.
But you're not even measuring the tsar. You're just measuring, like, I don't want my hand cut off because I use my hand, maybe. That's extra money.
Better find it. Where is it? Hold on. The maskana of the Gemara is Ella Omdin Kama Adam Rotsa Litain Liktoa La Yada Muchtav Lamachos Bein Saif Lasam.
What if that means that if they said it cost this much, what number is it? It cost this much for the sum. At that point, you say, oh, that's too much. Just cut off my hand without it.
Actually, one second. They actually don't read Lassam. Remember, they don't read Lassam to cut off the anesthetic. They read to destroy the hand with some type of a poison or something like that. It doesn't matter. It's the same thing. Right? In other words, you're going to lose your hand, your arm. The only question is, do you lose it with pain or without pain? How much would you pay? And so there you could see why a person... It's different between saying, how much would you have to pay me to do this? That'd be an enormous amount. Versus how much would I pay... Oh, this is great. This is a great example for economists, thinking fast and slow, about the difference between potential gain versus loss aversion. In other words, theoretically, you would think, according to the original theory of behavioral economists, that this should be the same amount of money, right? How much would they have to pay you in order... Well, okay, maybe this is not a good example. Never mind. But anyway, the Gemara says, how much would you pay to avoid? Okay? So the answer is, if you're going to flick me on the ear... It's not worth paying anything. I'll just, you know, it's an annoyance.
If they offered it and said it's worth a pruta, you pay that pruta.
For the tsar alone, nah. Just flick me on the ear. If you actually think about your behavior, there are many things that you do.
No, you're right.
How far would a person walk extra so as to have a parking spot? How much time would they spend? How much rather to have a parking spot where they don't have to put a few quarters in the meter? Think about that question. People don't make rational calculations, right? They don't calculate the extra time, how much their time is worth, you know, and you know, how much extra walking there is if they don't like walking, whatever it is. Right? Now, it's very interesting what people will do to avoid having to pay. It's a much smaller amount of money than the equivalent of what you have to pay them in the inverse. Okay. So the question is, according to Daniel, I don't think Tosis is saying this, but you want to suggest that fundamentally the onus, the boshes of Abraham onus of Mefata is a totally different thing. You want to say it.
Well, of course Tosfos isn't saying it, because when Tosfos launches this many objections against
just in the last part you wanted to argue the last kasha wouldn't be a kasha.
It depends how far we take these categories, and it depends like how much we isolate the category of boshes pagam for onus and nefata from standard.
Agreed, but the more you isolate it, the less the kash. In other words, if you argue that boshes pagam of onus and nefata are fundamentally something else than chovo b'chaveiro, because they don't come about via chavala. Then you could explain why the Gemara says, Ma'alachova b'chaver shekein chayo chamisha dvarim, because it's not just that you happen to be chayo chamisha dvarim versus you happen to be chayo fewer things. It's that they stem from two totally different places. I don't know if it's really going to work in there, but that's what you were suggesting.
Something along those lines.
Right.
Right. I assume that, like, if the re is like.
I'll tell you why I think it's not going to work ultimately. Because so at least the way I explaining you, I'm suggesting to you that they come from two different makoros. The reason, which would be nice, right? You would like that.
Something along those lines.
Right, but the reason why the way I formulate won't work is because despite the fact they come from two different makoros, the bottom line at the end of the day, let's say I ma'anes a woman, right? And I don't do it, and I do cause her pain. Okay, that's a given. It's tzar. And I do damage. Maybe not intentionally, but I do damage. You know, in the process of raping her. And so she needs ripui, and there's nesek. And now this tsar, and she's in so much pain that she can't work the next couple of days, and still the pain diminishes. Presumably, I'm chayv in chamisha dvarim. At the end of the day, it might be true that I didn't violate Lo Yosef. It might be that I didn't violate it. I didn't strike her in a way that I could get Malkos under any circumstances. But Sof, and let's say, and it happens to be, by the way, where's the Malkos? She's Achosi.
So the fact that you're bringing in Ripui and Sheves into these discussions in general shows that we're not fully like separating the categories. So if you were, I assume that like that in order to defend Rabbeinu Tam, you would need to separate the categories a lot further, such that Ripui and Sheves wouldn't really come into play. It wouldn't really be in the same discussion as the Boshes of Onus and Mufasa.
Correct.
So I don't have a formal way to do that yet. If I can figure one out, then
okay,
be with it, and Rabbeinu Tam will be happy with it.
Okay. Fine. All right. So that's
the,
yes.
Well, go back to that conversation a little bit. Don't you think that if you like rape a girl in such a way that there's like so much tzar that there's sheves, then maybe you did it in a way that you couldn't even call chavala in its own. But if it wasn't, even if it wasn't,
well, it depends which part is chavala. Yes, if you did it in such a way that you did damage and she can't work on this, it means you ended up being chovel, but you wouldn't get malchus because that wasn't your intent. You could never get hasra for that because you're not trying to wound her.
Why not? Well, if you're raping a woman, there are definitely times where a man is very aware that he's going to wound her.
No. The point is, he is trying to stick one of his body parts in her body, in one of her body parts. He is not trying to damage her body parts. When I hit you,
that's true. I think
it's just because
are victims of violence.
That's okay, but we have to separate that part.
We're
dealing with the abstract rape victim, right? Where he hasn't been brutalizing her otherwise. Right, you could. By the way, listen. I'll give you a case that was in the American courts. It was the unbelievable chutzpah of lawyers. I have to say. There was a case in Texas, I believe it was, where the man broke in, was going to rape the woman, and she begged him to use a condom. So he did. She didn't want to catch a disease. He argued that that constituted consent, and it wasn't rape. I kid you not. He was convicted. Okay? But that's an example where he's out there for some type of sadistic pleasure. His goal is not, you know... was not to cause her pain. He just was, whatever.
But that's not a sadistic pleasure.
No,
a sadistic pleasure is the guy who rapes the woman violently on purpose, even though.
That's not clear. In other words, I'm not going to get into the psychology here of rape fantasies and the like. What do those mean? It's especially the woman, not the man. But in other words, there are people who might derive particular pleasure not from the physical hurting, but from the fact that they're controlling someone.
But that's not chavala.
If I lock you up, if I put you in a bear hug and I hold you there all day, I'm chayev in sheves. That's not chavala.
Right, but.
So what I'm telling you is that the act
for the purpose of so that I don't
beat
work.
You. We're not talking about someone who beats her. I know that probably many rape victims are beaten as well. We're talking about the abstract onus and mufata here.
In order to gain some control, they need to beat her up a little bit.
No, you don't. You just need to show them a gun.
No, but
okay.
They're gonna struggle.
Maybe not if you show them a gun.
What if you do that? Huh? What if you have a case where a guy will show her a gun, okay, and he still beat her, and he still was extremely violent. She consented.
So what I'm telling you is that we're not talking about the guy who intentionally beats her.
Exactly. So a guy who the only case that there would be sheves would be a guy who's intentionally beating her. Or intentionally raping her in a way that will cause...
So what I'm telling you... So okay. Okay. How do you pause this?